1039 LI News Radio. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and listen live 24/7 at linewsradio.com.
Let's not keep him waiting. The LIA president right now. Talking about Kevin Law. Does a great job. He is the president of the Long Island Association Business Group, also co-vice chairman of the Long Island Regional Economic Development Council. Good guy. Haven't had him on in a while. We say Happy New Year, though, to him. And welcome him. Kevin, great to have you once again, my friend.
Hey, Jay. Pleasure to be here.
It's, I'll tell you, a lot on the plate, and we're going to get right to it. You know, yet, Kevin, you got this government shutdown. It's costing the economy a lot of cash here on the island, millions per week, lost consumer spending by the federal workers, believe it or not. Many of them, you know, I was reading, and it's interesting. You know, you take an Anthony's coal fired, you know, they're losing business right across our way here at the airport. You know, a lot of people, you know, it goes under the radar a lot with some of the local businesses being visited by some of these, you know, these government workers who are not there. You know, they're trying to do other things. Thus, these businesses are suffering. I think I read where your association, you're talking about, is about $28 million so far. I mean, that is a lot of cash not to be had by these businesses.
No, it certainly is. And actually, even before the impact to businesses, you know, you have 28,000 families on Long Island that are being impacted by not getting a paycheck. So, you know, they're suffering first and foremost. And then, you know, there's about 28,000 federal workers in Nassau and Suffolk counties. And, you know, their paychecks then have a ripple effect on the economy, like the pizza parlor, as you just mentioned. So if they're not getting a paycheck, they're not spending their money in our local shops. And then that has a spiraling effect on our small businesses. And so it's important that our folks in Washington get together, come up with a compromise, and get this shutdown resolved.
Well, you got a couple on the table now, the Senate GOP. I'm not sure. I mean, I can't believe, Kevin, we're day 34, you know, almost. And it's just hard for me to fathom that this has gone into effect. You know, you have a president that has certainly dug his heels in. You got a Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi. You know, to me, I've said this all along, it goes beyond the fact of what's at stake here. It's just a disdain for one another, I think, you know, and thus, you know, who wants to see anyone blink? You know, you got a base of voters on one side. You got Chuck and Nancy who, you know, we know they're not crazy about this guy. So it's almost like personalities clashing here and whoever blinks, you know.
Yeah, you know, we had a board meeting last week, and my board members, they don't care, Republican or Democrat, Washington or Albany, they're like, get your act together. Work together, do the people's business. And so I think the folks in Washington, both sides, they're losing support, you know, from both Republicans and Democrats. And I mean, businessmen and women, we expect our representatives in Washington and in Albany to get their job done, put the partisan stuff aside, get together, compromise, and move forward.
I was listening to Senator Tim Kaine last night on one of the shows. He's encouraged, sees a little bit of silver lining here. I'm not so sure. I think it's just optimism beyond, in my opinion. I think it's going to have to take a lot more effort to get this thing going. We'll wait and see. We'll keep the fingers crossed. They could miss a second paycheck coming on Friday. Let's go to some of the local stuff. You're listening to Kevin Law, LIA president. You know, Kevin, I know there are a couple of priorities put forth for the year. As far as the local situations are concerned, federal, state, local levels, we know. Permanent tax cap, state cap, the 2%. You have abolishing the 10,000 federal cap on deductions, SALT. I know you had a priority regarding the lab as well. We'll get to that. Talk to me a little bit about making permanent the state cap on increases in property taxes. Very important to keep at 2%. Yeah, a lot of people are working on this.
It is. So the property tax cap was approved in 2011. It had a three-year leash on it. And then in 16, it was extended for another 3 years. And so it's going to be expiring soon. And so what we've asked Albany to do is to make the property tax cap permanent at 2%. And why is that important? Well, property taxes were going up well beyond 2% for the last four decades. In fact, in the 70s, taxes were going up on average 9%. In the 80s, they were going up 7%. In the 90s, back to 8%. And from 2000 to 2011, 6%. Those numbers are not sustainable. Had the property tax cap not been in place for the last 6 years, and if taxes continue to go up like they have been since the 70s, the average Nassau and Suffolk County resident would be paying $4,000 more today than they're already paying. So it's working. It needs to continue. And it doesn't mean that it doesn't put some pain on our villages and our towns and our schools. But, you know, the residents, businesses in Nassau and Suffolk, they just can't afford to be paying more. And 2% is not a cut. It's just saying it can't go up more than 2%. Everybody would like to see their taxes cut. So the tax cap is important. It's working. And we think it should be made permanent.
And, you know, the $10,000 deal, you know, is encouraging for me when you can't have any type of bipartisan anything these days on the national stage, Albany, for that matter, here in Suffolk. You know, it's nice to see, you know, a couple of guys coming together from different parties. You know, I'm talking about Peter King and Tom Suozzi, you know, kind of getting together and trying to see and roll back this whole SALT deal of 10K. You know, Kevin, it was nice to see that. Whether it will come to fruition is another thing, but at least it's been recognized, I say.
Yeah, and what you're referring to is that we were always able to deduct our state and local taxes from our federal income taxes. President Trump's budget 2 years ago with a tax reform eliminated that deduction and put a cap on it, in fact. Just said you couldn't deduct more than $10,000 per year of your state and local taxes. Well, the average Long Islander is already paying, you know, more than $10,000 a year on property taxes. So that means they can't deduct any of their state income taxes. And so it's certainly something that negatively impacts a region like Long Island. And, yes, it's good to see Tom Suozzi and Pete King working together to try to eliminate that cap. And, again, I think that's what people want to see. It's what businesses want to see, Democrats, Republicans working together to try to do things that are good for Long Islanders.
New research equipment as far as the lab, talking about the Brookhaven National Laboratory, you know, very important to, you know, to have this. I was reading this electron ion collider, and it's important. Let's face it. It's important. I mean, BNL has always been a staple. It's important that they, you know, kind of climb that ladder as far as technology and research are concerned. I could see where that was coming.
Well, Jay, BNL is one of the largest employers on Long Island, over 1,100 employees. And they are competing with the state of Virginia for this super electron ion collider. Basically what it does, it allows scientists to look into subatomic particles. But more importantly, this would be a $1 billion-plus investment by the federal government and then have multiple $1 billion of positive impact for our economy. Scientists from all over the world come to Brookhaven National Lab to do work. They stay in local hotels. They come and stay, participate in our restaurants and our taverns. And they like the place. Then they vacation here. It has tremendous impact to our region. We're in a competition with Virginia. It's critically important. And what we're going to do is try to build an island-wide coalition to show Washington the support BNL has from Long Islanders because it's critically important that it win that competition.
No question. Kevin Law with us, LIA president. Kevin, what about this Long Island Railroad? You know, I've been highly critical. It's been a disaster. Worst performance in 20 years. The numbers are there. They don't lie. Broken rails all over the place. You know, yesterday, 40-minute delays. You know, we've had a cold streak here, I know, but it's inexcusable. And then you got the vote tomorrow to raise the rates again come March. You know, 575, whatever it is for a weekly, 15 more a month on a monthly. It's unconscionable to have these residents, you know, pay more when they're not getting the service. And I have been highly on it as far as the president of this railroad, who told me he was going to be more transparent. He's been anything but, not blaming it, everything on Philip Eng. But I got to tell you, I'm not really happy as far as what's been going down here with a looming rate hike in place, it seems.
Yeah, well, listen, Jay, service is critically important. The railroad definitely needs to step up its game when it comes to service. However, we all have to remember how critically important the Long Island Railroad is to Long Island's economy. Whether you use the LIRR or not, it's important to all Long Islanders. We still have 30% of Nassau residents who commute into the city, and about 20% of Suffolk, 10% of Suffolk residents. But in Nassau, they bring back 50% of the disposable income that supports our real estate market, supports our downtowns. And in Suffolk, those 10% bring over 20% of the disposable income back to Suffolk. So the New York City economy is still very important to the Long Island economy. And the best way to get in and out of the city is through the railroad. So, yes, service is critically important. It needs to be improved. But the state investment in the railroad needs to continue to happen, because anything that we could do to make it easier for people to get to and from New York City strengthens our region and should be supported by all, whether you use the railroad or not.
No question that it has to be dissected more, I think. It just seems like these hike plans go into place no matter what, and the beat goes on. And listen, I understand we have an antiquated system and needs to be fixed. It seems to be that the case. East Side Access, Third Rail, Floral Park, Hicksville, I get it. But right now, it's these folks who are paying more and more and more, and they're not getting anything out of it. Let's go to the congestion pricing deal. I know the governor stated this in the State of the State. Quite frankly, I am not a fan. There are other ways to put another tax on the cars. I think it's 11, 25 on the trucks. To me, is again, unconscionable. Paying too much already, getting in and out. It's getting to the point where you got to take a second mortgage now to work in the city. I mean, it's unbelievable. Kevin, I know it's going to help in a residual way as far as some of the Long Island stuff, but there's got to be another way. This congestion pricing, to me, is not going to cut it.
Well, the last two things Albany did prior to that were even worse for Long Island. When Mayor Giuliani was the mayor of New York City, you had the commuter tax, and that put an extra tax on suburbanites. You know, fortunately, that was eliminated by Governor Pataki about 12 years ago, or 16 years ago. Then they did this payroll mobility tax and put a payroll on all Long Island businesses and other businesses within the MTA service area. Fortunately, about 80% of those businesses were cut from that tax about 5 years ago. But that means there's still 20% of the businesses that are paying a payroll mobility tax. Nothing is palatable. When they talk about congestion pricing now, you're right. That's going to impact both commuters who come by car as well as businesses that go in and out of the city every day. We, as the LIA, we never come out and support a tax. I was up in Albany twice already this year. I see the momentum building for this thing. I think it's going to happen. And so what we said, if this congestion pricing fee is going to go in place, make sure that the Nassau and Suffolk County bus systems gets a piece of it, because those bus systems also need some financial help.
Listen, no question. I've suggested alternative ways. I can't stand when I go in the city, I see these trucks delivering all over the place. Give them certain times to do it, the trash stuff as well, pickups. And I'll tell you one thing, these bike lanes drive me crazy in Manhattan. Let them fix that. There's a bike lane, unprotected, pedestrians getting run over daily. It's a disgrace. Now you're putting a tax as far as getting in and around the island. I'm sorry, the island of Manhattan, that is. That's not going to cut it in my book. We'll see what happens. We'll see. But, boy, I tell you, a tough one.
There's no easy answers. The problem is the way Albany works, Jay, there's not a whole lot of public debate. And, for all its warts, in Suffolk County with the legislature, there's plenty of opportunities for public input and public hearing. Not so much up in Albany. And that's why I have to go up there all the time, because if you're not at the table for lunch, you are somebody's lunch.
Yeah, pretty much. That's true. That is true. Kevin Law, the president of the LIA. Kevin, let's go local a sec. You know, the county executives mapping out their priorities in the upcoming years. You know, you got a big election happening here in Suffolk, obviously. You know, Laura Kern has done an admirable job trying to fix a past problem with reassessment. She's going through her own so-called hell over there in Nassau. But, you know, it's encouraging. You got a Nassau hub that'll change a lot as far as the economy is concerned for parts west. You got the Ronkonkoma hub. You know, you've got Heartland Town Square. You've got a lot of encouraging things here. I'm concerned, you know, in the interim as far as, you know, what could occur. You got a lot of people who are exiting here. They can't hack it anymore. It's just too costly. Fees on top of fees on top of the other fees. We talk about it all the time. Give me the Kevin Law assessment as far as going forward, where we're at now. Tough place to live and everything else. You got the taxes. We spoke about the salt stuff coming into play. Kevin, where are we at right now in your opinion?
Good. Let me give you five positive things that happened last year, or five or six, that should make people feel good. One, the third track for the railroad broke ground. The double track of the railroad was completed. The Nassau hub is moving forward. The Ronkonkoma hub broke ground. The Islanders are playing games back at the Coliseum. And there are a lot of good things happening. The state invested another $100 million in our research corridor. And these are all things that are good, good for our future economy, and, you know, should make people feel positive about our region. In terms of the glass being half empty, we're still a very high-cost place to live and to do business. We need to get taxes under control. That's why we're supportive of the property tax cap. That's why we support the ability to deduct our federal and state taxes at the federal level. And we need to continue to become more efficient. So, you know, as we invest in our new economy going forward, we need to control our expenses at the same time. And with both of those things happening at the same time, our future can be bright.
Yeah, listen, I don't disagree with you as far as the future. I'm just talking the interim portion right here. You know, how do you hold on until things are done? You know, you're looking at things being done, and then, you look down the road, Kevin, 5, 10, 15, 20 years, yeah, it could be somewhat encouraging. Who knows what will occur then? But in essence, you know, it's about keeping families here, kids here. We talk about it all the time. There's just not enough jobs, in my opinion. Kids graduate. Where do they go? Living at home and finding what to do after studying different types of situations in their education platforms. You know, it's just about keeping people afloat right now. A lot of people will say, you know what, it's somewhat of a bleak picture from an economic standpoint. Yes, all of that is encouraging, but what about now? You know, people are more concerned about the present than the future, I think, sometimes.
Well, you hit the nail on the head, Jay. First and foremost, yeah, I got two boys as well. I got a senior in college. I got a senior in high school. I worry about their future and whether or not they could stay on Long Island. First and foremost, there has to be a job for them. If there's not a job, they're not staying. And then if there's a job for them, where are they going to live? So we need to continue to diversify our housing supply. Not everybody and not every kid, especially millennials from, you know, 18 to 34, they neither want a big house or could afford a house. So we need to invest in more multifamily housing, especially in our downtowns, and give them alternative choices on where to live. And so, and then we got to do those things I just mentioned before about, you know, preparing for the future and controlling expenses. So you're right, because without doing all of those, there's no reason for them to stay.
No question. I do find it encouraging. I know the island won about $68 million or so, Kevin, in state economic aid. You know, company expansions, affordable housing, worker training, sewers, the vote yesterday, two of the three, Great River not adopting it. Mastic does. You know, the whole thing, there are encouraging signs. You know, you have Google that will invest a lot of money in and around the city. Amazon's coming into play, Long Island City. So, you know, there are encouraging signs. Like I said, it's just a matter of keeping heads above water here. Somehow, if we can find ways in the current way of life down the road, we're looking a lot prettier. That's the key, I think, to everything here.
Yeah, and I think also it's something we talked about in the past, Jay, the last time I was on your show. Long Islanders send $23 billion more to Washington every year than we get back. and we send $5 billion more to Albany every year than we get back. That's $28 billion every year Long Islanders send to Albany and Washington and don't get back. The total amount of property taxes that everybody pays in Nassau and Suffolk for county, town, school, villages, fire districts, library districts, is $12 billion. Think about the math. If we could reduce what we sent to Washington and Albany, we could take care of our own needs here in Long Island.
Kevin Kemp, thank you enough for a few minutes. We'll have you on soon again. Always love having you, though.
My pleasure, Jay. Have a great 2019 to you and all your listeners.